This is Matins.
Let's join Father Solim Pela for our Monday catechesis.
Catechesis today is taken from the readings of yesterday and also the feast of yesterday, and that was the exaltation of the cross. Yesterday we celebrated the special occasion of the feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, remembering the very important moment in the history of the church in which the Holy Cross, the actual cross, on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had hung upon and had been nailed to during the time of his ultimate sacrifice of love at Calvary. This feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross also marks three important occasions in the history of the church that were deeply related to this holy relic of our faith, the Holy Cross, or the true cross of Jesus Christ. Firstly, it was the discovery of the holy and true cross itself, and then secondly, the dedication of the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, built on the site of Calvary itself, and lastly, the triumphant entry of the holy and true cross back to Jerusalem at the conclusion of the Byzantine-Persian War, 6 centuries after the Lord's resurrection. First of all, the Holy Cross, or the true cross of our Lord, had been laying dormant in the site where it has been hidden with two other three crosses used to crucify the two thieves that were crucified with the Lord at the site of Calvary itself. And after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans and the rebuild of the city as a Roman city known as Aelia Capitolina, for a few centuries, the location of the true cross became hidden and forgotten, buried underneath the Roman pagan temple and other edifices. It was then about 3 centuries after the Lord's resurrection, after the triumphant of the Roman Emperor Constantine the Great over his many rivals to the Roman imperial throne, that his mother, the Empress Mother Helena, also known as Saint Helena, went on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and in that occasion discovered the holy and true cross of our Lord. The story goes with how three crosses were discovered at the site of the Lord's crucifixion at Calvary, which has been buried under the Roman structures, and in order to distinguish it and find out which of the crosses was the one that the Lord was crucified with, it was brought upon a sick man, and true enough, one of the crosses made the man immediately to be cured, identifying the cross as the one that our Lord himself had borne and his crucifixion. Saint Helena, therefore, arranged for the true cross to be taken out of the place it was discovered and placed upon a great honor in Jerusalem, with its pieces and splinters eventually spread and finding their way to other great shrines and holy sites of Christendom. That was how the true cross was discovered, and its discovery was celebrated until the very day, that was yesterday, the 14th of September. And since at that time, through the great support and favor from Emperor Constantine the Great himself, many churches and basilicas were built in Rome and elsewhere throughout the empire, including in Jerusalem. A great church dedicated to the Lord's Passion and Resurrection was built in the side of Calvary, the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre, standing atop where the Lord himself had died on his cross and was buried in the tomb nearby. The moment when this great basilica, one of the most important holy sites of our Christian faith was dedicated to the Lord. It's one of the celebration we mark on this great feast. This Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre still stands to this day and remains one of the most important pilgrimage sites for all Christians from all around the world, including many of our separated brethren. And lastly, a few centuries later, when a true destructive war raged between the Eastern Roman Empire and the Persian Sasanian Empire in the early 70th century, the city of Jerusalem and much of the Eastern Mediterranean region were conquered and captured by the Persians, and this included the True Cross itself, which was brought to Persia as a war treasure. And the situation was really very bleak for the Romans at that time, with defeats after defeats happening. But eventually, under the leadership of the new emperor, Emperor Heraclius, the situation gradually improved and the defeats were reversed, culminating in the great victory and triumph, after which all the defeats were reversed and the True Cross itself was returned to the hands of Christians, with the emperor bringing the True Cross on foot into the city of Jerusalem. This is one of the events that we celebrated yesterday. Now that we have looked into the historical reasons for this great feast of the exaltation of the cross, now we should look deeper into the significance of the Holy Cross and its centrality to our Christian faith. There is no other symbol more representative and powerful in representing and showing our Christian faith other than the cross. And this symbol, once the symbol of oppression, humiliation and punishment, the symbol of ultimate shame and derogation, the punishment reserved by the Romans to the worst criminals and offenders, have become a symbol of the ultimate triumph and victory, glory and honor, as well as majesty and greatness, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done through his cross, the cross that he bore upon himself to bring about our salvation. Then from what we've heard in our first reading passage yesterday, taken from the book of Numbers, of the time when the Israelites rebelled against God and refused to obey him, and as a result, fiery serpents were sent against them, and Moses was instructed to craft a bronze serpent figure on a pole or staff, a figure later known as the Nehushtan. And the Lord told Moses to raise up the bronze serpent as mentioned. All those who were bitten by a fiery serpent perished, but those who were bitten and then looked upon the bronze serpent lived on and did not die. This bronze serpent was indeed a prefigurement of what the Lord himself will do for all of us mankind through his Son. Although no one was aware of this at that time, it was only later on that parallels became clear and the truth came to light of great deeds that the Lord had done. That is because the fiery serpents represent the sin that the people had committed, all the wickedness which they had done, and the punishments due for those transgressions and sins. While the punishment of sin is indeed death, for sin is caused by disobedience against God, which led to our separation from him, and hence the separation from the Lord and Master of all life. But God, in all his love and mercy towards us, does not wish us to be lost from him and to be eternally separated from him. And that was why he gave us all the perfect remedy through his own beloved Son, who, like the bronze serpent of Moses, will be raised and lifted up for everyone to see in the glory of his cross, when he, the Son of God, lay dying on the cross for the salvation of the world. And it is this perfect obedience to the will of his heavenly Father by which Christ our Lord has redeemed us all as according to our second reading yesterday from the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. In that passage, we heard of the great obedience by which the Lord accomplished everything that had been planned for our salvation, delivering us all from the clutches of sin and death. And all this were done to fulfill everything that God, our most loving Father, had wanted to do for us, as our gospel passage yesterday from the Gospel of St. John, the Apostle and Evangelist, has highlighted to us of how much God truly loved us, all that He sent His Son to us to suffer the worst and indignation, humiliation and punishment on our behalf, just so that we may have life and true happiness with Him. But what is truly important is that the reason why this symbol of the cross has been transformed into an instrument of victory and triumphed from that of humiliation and defeat, because of everything that Christ our Lord and Savior had done. And as we celebrated and rejoiced greatly yesterday, let us all reflect carefully on this fact and continue to gaze upon the cross of Christ our Savior, the cross by which He had conquered sin and death and redeemed us from eternal damnation and darkness, and bringing us all into the light and hope of eternal life. Let us all commit ourselves anew henceforth to His cause and do our very best to be ever more faithful in all things, doing our part to be the faithful bearers of our own crosses in life, carrying them together with our Lord and His cross. And remember, if there had been no cross, Christ would not have been crucified. If there had been no cross, life would not have been nailed to the tree. If He had not been nailed, the streams of everlasting life will not have welled from His side, blood and water, the cleansing of the world. The record of our sins will not have been cancelled. We will not have gained freedom. We will not have enjoyed the tree of life. Paradise will not have been open. If there had been no cross, death will not have been trodden underfoot, and underworld will not have yielded up its spoil. And how great the cross, through which we have received a multitude of blessings, because against all reckoning, the miracles and sufferings of Christ have been victorious. How precious the means of God's suffering and His trophy of victory. On it, of His own will, He suffered unto death. On it, He won His victory, wounding the devil and conquering death and shattering the bars of the underworld. The cross has become the common salvation of the whole world. And may the Lord, our triumphant and majestic King of Kings, whose throne is His holy cross, be with us always and guide us all in the ultimate victory against darkness, sin, and evil. May He continue to encourage and strengthen us by His holy and true cross, and help us to persevere against all the challenges and the trials in life. Let us all not easily distracted and tempted by many pressures, difficulties, and obstacles in our path, even when our path may be at its darkest, and when hope is torn out from our hearts and mind. Let us always trust the Lord wholeheartedly that He has the path forward for us, and that through Him alone we can be sure of the lasting and true happiness, being with Him and all those whom He loved forever. May He bless our every effort and endeavors to be ever more faithful in each and every moment. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless, protect, and guide you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.